Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around, you're in the right place. Hey everybody, this is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar. I have a really interesting guest today, very cool guy, good guitar player, and anybody who's ever wanted to study a model of success, young guitarist to see what it takes to make it needs to pay close attention to my call today with David Henriksen. David started playing violin at age 6, acoustic guitar at 9, and electric guitar at 12. By the way, he grew up in Sweden. He played live in SVT, which is the public service network in Sweden. He was a member of the rock band The Events since 2004, and he co-wrote and co-produced two full-length albums for them, where they were also the opening act for legendary British bands Sweet and Smokey. He played full-time with the cover band Cassius Clay from 2010 to 2015. And if you go back and listen to this, you can find all this stuff on YouTube. He also produced video lessons for Play Along, which is Scandinavia's biggest online platform for music lessons. He was hired as a teacher by more than 10 different schools, and he performed in 16 European countries. In July of 2017, which is just 5 months ago from the time we're recording this, he relocated to Nashville. He got a work visa sponsored by guitarist and producer Guthrie Trapp, which probably a lot of people know. And he's currently the lead guitar player for country singer Tracy Lawrence. He's performed at the Grand Ole Opry 8 times already, toured with Farron Rachels, who's the opening act for Dwight Yoakam on 4 gigs. He toured with Hannah Dasher, and she opened for the Cadillac 3 on 4 gigs. And he received the Hagstrom Award from the Royal Swedish Academy of Music in 2014. And he's definitely the most Swedish-looking guest I've had because he's Swedish. What is that called? It's not Swiss. Is it Swiss? No.
No, that's Switzerland.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What is it called when you're from Sweden?
Swedish.
He's Swedish. Okay, yeah. So you go. Here I am being an ignorant American. Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming on the show, man. I love what you've done, and I've heard your playing. It's great, and you've accomplished a lot, man. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you very much. It's been nice to be invited to do this, and I'm incredibly happy about all the stuff that you're mentioning right now. When I think about it myself, I'm just like, that's quite damn cool that I've been able to. Because there's a lot of people that dream about this, going to, especially the States, maybe because it's such a huge country with a great music industry, but just like move somewhere and pursue their dreams. A lot of people wouldn't do that because they're kind of afraid of failure, I guess. And I was just like, hell, I better fail than not try at all. So, and here I am now.
Yeah, man.
Played in 18 different states in 4 months. And, you know, stuff is just coming on crazy all the time.
And just so you know, I've interviewed other guys, and we always talk after and before the call, and a couple of guys have mentioned you. So
it's like
in a very positive way. So you're getting noticed, you know, in the right ways by the right people, man. So
yeah, that's great to hear.
Kudos to you. So again, first of all, I want to congratulate you. I read on Facebook the other day you posted that in 4 months you've been here, you've played in 50 paid gigs and traveled to 18 different states. And just let me tell everybody, he does not post that in a, hey, look at this. He posts it in a like totally enthusiastic manner, and like he's so happy that he's doing all these things. So just want to clarify that. And as I said before the call, I really think you should be proud of yourself, and I really want to congratulate you because you're a great example of someone who puts his head down, works hard, and gets shit done. And, you know, again, I cannot congratulate you enough because, you know, as an older guy coming from the business environment, I've seen so many people just piss and moan and whine and bitch. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be impacting you, man, for some reason.
No, I mean, this business is tough. You have to be tough back, more or less. Just like, you can't give up. If you really want something, go for it then, because no one else will. Like, of course you might have people helping you along the way, but you have to really make the most of the work yourself. And that's what I did. And it took me a long while to get this work visa, but and like everything I've done, it's taken a while to get what I want, but it's all worth it.
And that's
all the hard work.
And it's like that in everything, man. People, it's the same thing whether you're being a guitarist or, you know, you're a small business owner. So anybody running a business, it's the exact same thing. You know, you can't just wake up, fog a mirror, and, you know, then the money comes in. You know, you see this bullshit on the, on, you know, you make money like a cash register. That's not reality. You know, that's, that's, you got to go out there and bust your ass no matter what you're doing. Yeah. So let me ask you this. You had a great career going in, going on over in Sweden. How did Guthrie, how did you and Guthrie connect, and what prompted you to move to Nashville? I mean, that's a big, you know, if you were kind of like meandering along in Sweden, it would have been a little easier decision because, like, hey, I got nothing to lose. But you were, you know, you have building the same head of steam you're building here, but you were 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 years into it in Sweden.
Yeah, but okay, let me tell you about this. Playing with that original band that we, the events that I co-wrote and co-produced 2 albums with.
Yeah.
That was like some of the best things I've ever done, playing music that I loved with my best friends, but we didn't barely make any money. It was like almost only expenses because we never got successful enough to make money playing our own music. And then playing with Cassius Clay, the cover band, it was kind of the other way around. It was, of course, I love those guys and play music with them, but it was, after a while, almost only for the money. It turned out being a job that wasn't really my passion after a few years. So in the fall of 2013, when I'd been in that band for 3 years, I just felt like, oh man, I don't want to be stuck playing cover band stuff like 4 hours a night for drunk people on a cruise ship, which was what we mostly did. So I just felt like, I want to be inspired. I need to go for an adventure somewhere. So I saved up as much money as I could. And in the fall of 2014, I went on an 11-week trip to the States. Cost me quite a lot of money, but it feels like a good investment now since I'm here. And during that trip, I ended up spending most of the time in Nashville. And then I met Guthrie Trapp. I saw him play a couple of times, approached him, asked if I could have a couple of lessons. We ended up hanging out quite a bit. He even invited me to spend Thanksgiving with his parents and some musicians' friends and their families, which was like that crazy. I've been in Nashville for a month, and I spent Thanksgiving with those like hotshot musicians, which was just like insane. I just felt like something is going really in the right direction here. And everything was spinning off from there, more or less. The thing in Sweden, even though I made a living playing guitar, I did some cool stuff. You can't do what I'm doing now. You can't tour every weekend with someone who's had 18 number one hits and sold 13 million albums because you can't do that in Sweden. It's way too small a country.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't interested enough in guitar-based music, so to speak. I have a lot of friends who are like keyboard players or drummers who play way more than I do with big acts. But that's like more modern pop acts, which is like not a guitar-based kind of music. So
yeah,
to speak.
Absolutely. Wow.
That's the great thing about Nashville. There's a lot of guitar players in the band.
Yeah, it's very good. It's guitar, at least depending upon the music you're playing. But yeah, it's more guitar-based than certainly what you're saying over in Sweden. What made you come here for 11 weeks? What I'm trying to figure out what was going through your mind when you did that.
As I told you, I spent several years playing like full-time on that cover band, and I realized, okay, the last few years I've only invested money in buying pedals, guitars, and beer, more or less. And I just felt like, this is great, but do I want to continue like this? No. I want to continue like investing in an experience, in a trip, in like adventures, like something that I can't sell and something that someone can't steal. You know, I don't need an insurance to be able to keep this. So I actually sold quite a lot of equipment. I got this Hagstrom award. I got this, like, a distant relative passed away, and I got some money from him, and it just like ended up piling up money from different directions. And I just like, well, now I can actually afford to be away for this long. Started out with a road trip for 3 weeks with a friend. Ended up in Nashville. And when I came there, I didn't want to leave. So I spent almost 8 out of 11 weeks in Nashville. And I made a lot of good connections, including Guthrie and a lot of other people.
So when all this was going on, you made a comment that you said to yourself, things seem to be going really well here. I think, like a lot of times, the universe tells you something one way or another. Sometimes it says, you know, hey, man, you're in the right place at the right time. Other times it says, you know, you better get the fuck out. Nothing's happening here.
But that's what I felt in Nashville. That was like, oh, my God, this is just pulling me in. You know, I just felt like people want me here. They tell me I'm great. They think I should come here and stay here or like and do my best to get over here with a work visa so they can help me get gigs. People like offered me to help me within just a few weeks of being here. So, and of course, you might say that, but now I'm here, they are actually helping out. So
yeah.
It wasn't just bullshitting me. So,
yeah, I know I have found everybody there in beyond incredibly supportive, just amazingly supportive there. But I think it's cool that you sort of had the awareness to figure out those vibes that, man, this is, you know, I'm getting a message here from, you know, the universe, from some, you know, body that you believe in or whatever. But
yeah,
I think that was really cool that you had the
awareness. Yeah, there was just something that felt very right early on when I came here. And what were I supposed to say about, because in Sweden we have something that we call it, now you'll hear a Swedish expression, jantelagen, which is a kind of law that we just made up in our minds that tells you you shouldn't tell people you're very good at anything. You shouldn't tell people you're special or that you have any abilities. You should just be a medium guy in the middle and just like not be too special. While when I came here, everyone was so outgoing and social and they talked to anyone. So when I was in Austin, I went out to talk to Stevie Ray's brother, Jimmy Vaughn, at a club. And he was like, hey, man, how's it going? And, you know, everyone was talking to everyone. So I felt like I have nothing to lose here. So I introduced myself to anyone I ever saw play. And I didn't feel like this thing that we talk about in Sweden, it didn't hold me back for a second when I came to the States. And the first time I ever felt like I was good at networking. Back home in Sweden, I always felt like, no, I shouldn't talk to this guy because maybe he thinks I'm awkward because I'm introducing myself.
Interesting. You know? My wife is from England, and I've had buddies over the years that I've met in Germany and in the UK. And it's the same thing in those countries. You're not supposed to kind of be outgoing because that you're frowned upon as if it's like you're being an asshole or egotistical and so I give you a lot of credit for throwing, you know, this belief that you probably had ingrained in you for, you know, 27 years and just saying, you know what, man, I have nothing to lose. Let me do this. And you cast it to the wind and everything worked out for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So what were you most concerned about? Were there any, before you came here, did you have any negative or like fears or jitters about, you know, this could go wrong, that can go wrong?
I mean, you never know if you will end up getting a lot of gigs right away when you move somewhere else, especially not to a new continent, which is quite a big move.
Oh, hell yeah.
But that wasn't really what I was worrying about because I saved up money. I borrowed some money from my parents. I sold a lot of equipment to give myself kind of a starting up budget so I wouldn't have to go back home if I didn't make it to rent the second month, because being on the kind of work visa that I'm here on, I can't make money on anything else than music. I'm only allowed to play music.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of, I can't take a day job to work at a grocery store or anything to just like make some money in the beginning. I have to do only music.
Which was kind of a good thing
as well, because it put me in the right direction.
Yeah, it forced you, it compelled you to produce results, or, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I also gave myself some months of security by saving up money and borrowing money from my parents.
Which is great.
Yeah, and they've been always like incredibly supportive. So, but what I was worrying about was maybe then to, you know, that something would go wrong early on that I would like, I don't know.
Like it was just a dream.
Hurt myself, end up in a car accident and for some reason didn't have a insurance that would cover me, so I would have to move back home straight away. That was like, I really need some time to get going here. I don't want something to just like, and as we all know, like medical care is extremely expensive here if you don't have a good insurance. And I was just like, I really need to get that stuff sorted. And I didn't do that for a while for some reason, but now I have stuff that covers me. But I was just like, that was probably the thing that was worrying me the most.
And did any of that happen?
Not so far. And now I have insurance and that covers me for the rest of this year. And I'm actually in the works right now to get stuff that covers me for the entire next year as well. And I'm starting to feel more and more like I'm actually living the life in America, getting a social security number, an American bank account, you know, American insurances. Just like, I'm not only here on vacation. It really feels like I'm living here right now.
That's awesome. So that's cool. But it's interesting that how, and it happens with everybody, myself included, sometimes you have these things going through your head that are somewhat far-fetched, and none of that ever never materializes. You know, we make these fears up in our head like, holy shit, because you don't believe it's real. You don't believe,
yeah.
You know, and none of it ever happens. It's really funny. Yeah. You know who, there's a famous quote. Do you know who Mark Twain is? You ever heard of him? He wrote, there's a book called Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, I know about that.
Okay, so yeah, sure. the author was a very famous author, and he was a very witty guy, and he had this quote that says something like, I've suffered through many troubles. Most of them have never happened, you know,
yeah.
Meaning that he's gone through all this worry in his head and like,
it's all up here.
Yeah. Right.
Your eyes.
Right. 100%. So what are you working on right now, David, that you're most excited about?
I mean, the most stuff I have time to is to work with Tracy. We've been very busy here entire October and beginning of November. But what I'm, since Guthrie Trapp helped me being my sponsor for my work visa, we had to like connect us in a professional way. So that the plan there is that I will record a solo album that he will produce. So I'm actually going to meet him in a few hours later today to discuss this recording. So that's the project that I'll be working on. But I'm not sure when we will record yet, because the plan was to record an album to have something to showcase my playing when I got here so I could promote myself and get gigs.
Yeah.
But apparently I didn't need that. I got a lot of gigs anyway, so now I might change the purpose of this recording in a way. That's what I'm going to meet Guthrie to discuss.
Yeah, to figure out what's the point of the record. That makes a lot of sense. I think that a lot of people, because I've met a lot of, obviously, I've interviewed a lot of guys, and a lot of them have solo albums. And it's interesting. There's always a variety of approaches. Like, you know, a lot of the guys, they'll do something like, they'll have, you know, they're very talented. So they'll have five or six styles of songs on a CD. And so when I see that, my first knee-jerk reaction is, oh, so that's like your business card.
Yeah. Well, that has been my plan.
Yeah.
An audio business card. My playing in like country, blues, hard rock, folk music, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm considering like, well, maybe I shouldn't worry about showing everything I can, because people obviously appreciate what I'm doing already. Maybe I should try to just do one thing, but that's something that I could actually consider going out and do as like a trio gig. Maybe just a blues rock power trio that I would sing in myself, or just like Swedish folk music on electric guitar with country vibes or whatever, you know, just find something that would be even more unique than just like playing a business card album with six different styles. I'm not sure. I'll have to think more about this before I know what I'm going to do, but I'm definitely going to record a solo album at some point.
Good. It's based on my conversations with all of these guys who all happen to be like monster players, the guys that have done these. I mean, you know, they're very good. They sound great and they play great. I think it would seem to me, again, as an outsider, that but as somebody with a business background, it would seem that you're better off doing what you like to do.
Yeah, of course.
Because the business, because when I've said that to all these guys, they're like, yeah, you know, not really. Like I said, oh, is that a business card? And they're like, no, not really. And I was like, that's interesting, because that's, again, I'm coming from the marketing business aspect. Yeah. I wrote a book in 2009 specifically, you know, so if someone wanted to hire me or know about what I did in my consulting, I'd just say, hey, man, here's a copy of my book. Because no one else is doing that. You know, it's just the same thing. You take some, you know, but it seems like in music, it hasn't, I don't know. Maybe they haven't just used it like that. I don't know. But it seems like nobody's either used it for that or it hasn't been necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an interesting thing to consider.
Yeah, I've been asking some people, both like some old teachers and musician friends back home from Sweden, but also some of my U.S. friends here in Nashville. Like, what do you think I should show? What should I focus on this recording? And some people say exactly what you say, like, do the stuff that you love the most, because people will notice that and you will play that the best. But the thing is, I don't really know what I love the best. I would probably get bored recording an 8-track rock album with my own songs, or because I don't feel like I'm a rock artist in my own name. Well, I really am as a sideman, right now at least. But maybe I don't need an album for that. And maybe in a year or two, I feel like I really want to go out and play some small blues clubs and play a blues trio. And then maybe I should record an album with that in mind.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good plan.
But we'll see what happens. I don't want to stress this because it will cost me quite a lot of money, and I want to invest in something that I could really use and that I will feel proud of.
Yeah, well, plus everything here has happened naturally and organically. So if all of a sudden you're like, and it's all worked. So if all of a sudden you're like, you're introducing stress into the equation, it just doesn't fit the rest of the model.
No, exactly.
You know,
that's totally the plan, to like, do it when it's the right time.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, man. And when you put it out, man, you come back on the show because we're growing and you promote it and we'll get some ears and eyeballs on it, man.
Of course.
What's the main difference? I know nothing about Sweden. I've never been there, and I don't know that I've ever, I think maybe even met somebody from Sweden, but oh yeah, there's this girl in college. What's the main difference between Swedish culture and American culture?
Well, the thing I told you about in Sweden, you're not supposed to be outgoing and social. You shouldn't say you're good at anything. That's a big thing. And not only in music, like in general, that's a big difference. But also just the fact that this country, like, or this state, like the U.S. with 50 different states and like 340 or 350 million citizens compared to 10 million citizens in Sweden, it just tells itself that like, there will be more opportunities over here. And like music-wise, there's a lot of great players in Stockholm, where I'm from, and in Sweden in general. But there aren't as many opportunities to play live if you're not into the very, very commercial stuff or playing cover bands or stuff like that. To play an original blues band, there's not room for many of those in Sweden, for example.
And there's no shortage of them here.
No, exactly. So it's, I mean, you might not get famous playing like commercially or like in media famous for playing blues here, but there's so many blues clubs around the states. So there's bands that can play like sold out shows for 150 people at small blues venues. And they can do that in every state all year round because there's so many of them. And they can sell CDs and T-shirts, and they will make good enough money to survive on that. They might not get rich or famous, but like they can still do what they love. And Sweden is not big enough for that. The thing is that if we would consider, okay, the U.S. is like half of North America. If we in Sweden would see like Europe as our working field, that might be easier, but the thing is we speak different languages, so it's not as easy to connect. Well, of course, a lot of people speak English, but also many countries, they aren't that fluid in English, so it's hard to communicate. While in the U.S., you all speak the same language, so it's much easier to book a show if you're in Florida. If you're booking something in Wisconsin, it's going to be easier than for me to book something in Portugal if I'm in Sweden, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's very true.
So that's a big difference, I think.
So it's a little more conservative and less opportunities and harder to integrate business-wise with the surrounding countries because of the language.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
that's a good summarize.
What was growing up there like? What was your childhood like?
It was great. Both of my parents, they weren't working musicians really, but they both played music, and my mother was a music teacher for many years. And they both played traditional Swedish folk music. My dad plays accordion, and my mother plays a very, very traditional Swedish instrument called the keyed fiddle. I can show you a link or a picture of that. It's really cool stuff. So I grew up in the summers on like folk music festivals, listening to that kind of music. So that's something that's really deeply rooted in my heart and my music.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with. And also listening to my dad's vinyl record collection with a lot of like 70s rock. My brother, who's 3 years younger, he's also a full-time musician, great drummer. So we always, when he started playing, we played a lot together from early age. And I was always very into music, but I also did sports for quite many years. But when I had to kind of choose what to focus on, it was no question that it was the music that was going to be the first choice.
So is your brother like gearing up to come over here now?
Actually, my entire family coming here. They're coming over here over Christmas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's not really aiming to go here and play, but you never know. Maybe I'll get him excited once he gets here.
Yeah, well, you've laid the groundwork. I'm surprised.
Yeah,
why would he want to do it? It'd be so much easier for him than it was for you.
Yeah, for sure. But also he has – I'm kind of aiming to be a sideman. He really wants to focus on his rock band from back home, which is
okay.
A phenomenal band. He wants to be in that band. That's his dream
totally
right now.
Yeah, I get it.
But of course, there will be a bigger market for them in the States. However, if they don't have any fans here, because there's 340 million citizens compared to 10 million, so there's going to be more people interested in the music if they just find their audience.
Yeah. Which is always the toughest part of any business, finding your, lead generation, developing your leads. Yeah. Very cool. What kind of work did your dad do?
My dad was working at a medical company.
Gotcha. And your mom taught music. That's very cool.
Yes, exactly.
Your work ethic is really good, and I dig
Thank
that.
You.
Yeah, man. Where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, I guess I was always kind of before I got serious into music. I think I was serious about sports before that, and I was always a very bad loser. When we played soccer, which I started when I was 6 years old, like when we lost a game, I was just like pissed off, and it was like I really didn't like losing, and people sometimes like almost gotten afraid of me because I'm getting like, so mad. Now maybe not like that, but they're like, oh my god, you should really try to handle your feelings here, you know. And I guess I figured with music you can't really lose in that sense. You might be disappointed because you didn't play a good gig or you didn't like learn that stuff well enough, it's not a game where you can win or lose in the same sense. And I also maybe felt like music was something that I had more natural talent in. And of course, seeing all these like album covers with these 70s rock bands with long hair and guitar, I was just like, that's cool. That's something I want to do.
What kind of music did your dad listen to?
They listened a lot to folk music back home, but also a lot of 70s rock and
Sabbath, Zeppelin, stuff like that.
I mean, I ended up listening later to a lot of Zeppelin and mostly, or even more like Deep Purple.
Right.
And Kiss and AC/DC. But he listened, maybe he didn't listen to it a lot, but I found a band in his record collection, which was like, ended up being my favorite band that when I was 6 years old, I learned to use his vinyl player listening to an English rock band called Status Quo. They've never been big in the US really, but they've been massive in Europe. They had like more hits on the English like UK charts than even Beatles or Rolling Stones. Not more number ones, but more like on the top 60 or something like that. So
now, were they like a kind of like new wave-ish band? Or were they rock?
They were really like, they had one hit in the US in the late 60s, which was kind of a psychedelic pop thing. But during the 70s, they got more like heavy boogie rock, like just three.
ZZ Top or something like that?
A little bit like that.
Yeah, or Cream.
Just like very heavy 3-4 chords, like very monotone in a way, but like very energetic and great live performances.
I'm gonna have to check them out because I've heard of them, and I can pull out one record of theirs from my memory. So I'm gonna have to check them out because that's the kind of music I like. Let's talk gear for a few minutes. It's funny when I see you in videos of you on YouTube in Sweden playing country music.
Yeah.
I didn't expect, I was like, it was like the words and the music didn't match. I wasn't expecting that.
No, that's what you mean.
But, and you usually have a Telecaster. What's your go-to guitar right now? And maybe what other two guitars or two or three guitars would round out your top?
Well, the main, I'll have to tell you this, because when I moved my entire life to another continent, I have to make some tough choices.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I couldn't bring all my equipment because that would have cost a fortune to ship everything over here. So I had to choose, and I like, okay, I need a Telecaster over in Nashville. So I'm bringing my Tele, and I had two really great Strats back home, both of them hand-built by a Swedish luthier in Stockholm. Both of them had Brazilian rosewood in the fretboard, which you can't ship internationally. I could have like ended up getting those. They could have taken from me in the customs when I arrived to the States. So one of them I sold, and one of them I actually kept in Sweden for when I eventually go back home to visit or move back home, whatever happens. So I would say my go-to is my Tele. I have a Strat.
Is it a Fender Tele?
It's not a Fender Tele, actually. There's a few different companies who build replacement parts on license from Fender. And this is from a company called Warmoth.
Yeah, sure. So, very common.
So it's a body and a neck from Warmoth. And then there's Swedish pickups from a brand called Lundgren. And it also has this device called a hand bender on it, which is kind of a B-bender thing. But you don't have to make any permanent mods to your instrument. You can just like, you attach it to the bridge with one screw and it works really nice. Wow. It almost looks like whammy bar, but it all only pulls the B string up one full tone.
Interesting. That's a very common name, Lundgren, right?
Yeah, it's they've been on the market for pickups since the early 90s or something like that, so they're quite well known.
Yeah. Okay, so you got this Warmoth Tele, and then you have a private label luthier built Strat.
I would say so. That's like one of my favorite guitars of all time, but I couldn't bring it over here. I didn't dare to.
Yeah, man.
And over here, except for the Tele, I only have one Strat that's I'm only bringing it as a spare. I would never use it on a Ginga if I didn't have to, because it's a decent instrument, but it's not nearly as good as my Tele. So
gotcha. So you and that.
But I have another Swedish luthier. Actually reached out to me after I only been here for 1 month, or actually less than 1 month, before I like did all these stuff that I've done now. Like, hey man, it looks like it's going really well for you in Nashville already. I want to build you a Strat. So I got this endorsement deal with a great Swedish guitar builder.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's great, man.
So he's working on my Strat right now, which is like me and him, we agreed on the specs that would be the most optimal for me over here. And he's working on it right now. Get it over here.
That's fantastic.
Enough.
So he's looking to get some recognition here in the States and hopefully
start
building.
Yeah, I guess both that I can show to people, but also he's like so eager to get to know more about guitar building. So he just wants to know how it works over in the climate here, with the climate changes moving from state to state, and just like if it keeps stable, the neck and everything, you know, he's very serious about that thing. So it's kind of an experiment for him as well.
Yeah, well, it is tough if you come from Florida here, because we still have humidity.
Yeah.
We still have humidity here, and it's like today, you know, it would probably be about 89, 90 degrees, you know, and then like Nashville is probably 20 degrees cooler than that.
Yeah, for sure. At least.
And we're not that far away. No. What about amps? Your tone is really good. I like your tone. It's like the kind of tone I like. What do you
Thank
play
you
out of?
Right now, my main amp is also from a Swedish company called Olson Amps. Quite a new company as well. He's been around for like 5 years, but gotten really, really big recognition in Sweden. A lot of people that tried like every boutique amp brand more or less available they're like, well, this is the shit.
Okay.
He's making really, really good stuff. And the one I'm having now is, I wouldn't say it's super Fender style, but it's still like with the Fender style tubes. It's designed for 6L6 tubes, but I put 6V6 tubes in it to like lower the output a little bit so I can push the tubes a little bit more. Hmm. So right now it's 22 watts, but it's designed and can be up to 40 watts.
Oh, that's great.
And it has two channels that are constantly on, both of them, so you can mix them. And it's like one normal and one bright channel, and it's only one tone knob.
That makes that so much easier.
Differently for one of them. So it affects both of those channels at the same time, but different frequencies. So you have to learn a little bit how to tweak it, but it works really well. And it has a built-in really good spring reverb as well. And this guy is also building a new amp for me at the time. I felt like I can't be here being this busy and only have one amp, because if something breaks down, I don't want to be like, oh, sorry, I can't play the gig tonight.
Yeah,
I need that spare. So that guy is building me another amp right now.
Olsen?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that hard? Is that hard to ship an amp with tubes from...
It cost me a lot of money to ship my amp over here from Sweden.
How do you pack? Do you take the tubes out? I'm assuming you don't pack, right?
No, we actually had it with the tubes in it. Just packed in a good hard case and like,
wow,
a lot of stuffing around it.
Yeah, holy crap. Sometimes you play with a lot of distortion, and I was curious, what kind of distortion or like are you using, or fuzz pedals? What do you get your dirt from, or is it just from the amp?
Right now, I'm not using any kind of amp distortion, because the amp I have, if you have to push it really, really hard to get any kind of breakup, and then it's still just going to be like light, bluesy gain. So I'm using pedal overdrives and distortions. So not really, I don't know which videos you've seen, but... right now, since I had to travel quite light when I got here, I have a quite small pedal board, so I'm using a lot of like mini sized pedals. I'm endorsed by this Japanese company called One Control, and they have a bunch of pedals that are all designed by another Swedish guy.
Wow.
Called Bjorn Juul, and he's also been designing for companies like Mad Professor and Barefoot, that people might have heard of. He's designed for many, many companies, and he's very well known in that business. So what I'm using right now is a few pedals from One Control, because they're all the same size, and they're like three in a row on my pedal board, so I can change them depending on what kind of overdrives or distortion I need for a particular gig. Right now I have, since my amplifier, even though it's kind of Fender style tubes, it still has a speaker that it's more mid-range than a typical Fender amp. So I have this preamp style pedal that is supposed to sound like a Blackface era Fender amp. So I use that to like add a little bit of compression and scoop up the mids a little bit to make it more of a Fender-ish clean sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two overdrives, one that's like very transparent and one that's a little bit more mid-push, to combine with this preamp pedal to get like I can reach four different levels of gain with those. It works really well.
Cool. You're like the celebrity, you're the Swedish celebrity now to all these guys. American Swedish celebrity here in America.
I wouldn't say so, but it's quite clear that they all appreciate that I'm going here and that I want to show their stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess they realize, like, if we support this guy now, some good stuff can come out of this, instead of like, if they would wait, I would probably get some deals with some American companies sooner or later. Absolutely. So it's good for them to be. And it's good for me. I want to showcase some Swedish stuff as well. It's a win-win situation for all of us.
Yeah, that's the good thing about this country, that like you can come from another country assimilate here and you don't have to give up your identity, and everybody understands that, you know, you have an attachment to this other place where you grew up, and so and it's cool. That's nobody you know, nobody.
So that's something I want to keep, because if I would just turn up or like end up being the guy who's a cowboy in place, the same equipment as everyone else, I won't have a unique story to tell. But
yeah,
still make sure I sound a little bit different because I'm using different stuff and I'm not trying to be the next Brent Mason or whatever and just like sound that I've lived in Nashville for my entire life.
Sure.
It would be easier for me to stick out from the rest and just be a little bit unique at least.
Yeah, yeah. When? How long have you been speaking English?
We started studying English when I was in third grade.
Okay.
So it's like 20 years now.
Oh, okay.
Of course,
okay.
Back then I didn't speak English. I could say, we learned this. I am, you are, he, she, it is. You know,
no, because your English is perfect, man. It's real. I mean, I've told you that before. I'm just curious how long you've been speaking it. Who are your biggest influences guitar-wise?
I guess the first influence to start play electric was this band Status Quo that I mentioned, but I didn't really learn any of their stuff. Because I listened a lot to them before I started playing electric guitar. And then when I actually got an electric guitar, I was more into other stuff. But that was still like the first thing that really triggered my spirit to play electric guitar. Mm. But now the last year before I moved over here, I actually had a tribute band back home that played all 70s Status Quo covers. We played maybe seven or eight gigs during this year, and a lot of, because they were very big in Sweden during many years, so a lot of these like old fans that are now in their 50s to 60s came out, like sang along to every song, and they were so happy we learned all the guitar parts, like specifically like the records, and they were like super happy about that. And some people were really like, you can't move to the States, we haven't seen your Status Quo tribute band yet on Facebook. And I was like, come on guys, it's a tribute band. But then I would say when I, around the time when I got my first electric guitar, I heard Stevie Ray Vaughan for the first time, and I got one of his greatest hits albums on my 14th birthday. And just like a month and a half after that, I got a new electric guitar teacher, a crazy Romanian former rock star from the 80s, where he's still very famous over there. And he taught me a bunch of Stevie Ray tunes like the first year I had it as a teacher, and I was just like, oh my god, can I play this stuff? Well, apparently, and I just like had such a good time, and that put me in a really like direction of, this is what I want to do, I want to play guitar. So Stevie Ray was maybe the first guy that I ever tried to figure out licks on my own, not only like a teacher telling me how to do it, but like really listening to the records, really focus and trying to emulate that playing style. And another one of my biggest influence was also during my teen years, a guy called Gary Moore, an Irish guitarist, who played Thin Lizzy for some time.
Beautiful guitarist, man.
He's one of my, like, I'm not the biggest fan of his blues playing, but when he played hard rock back in the 80s, his mix of playing like these beautiful melodic ballads and also his ripping like hard rock soloing with the like most attitude you can hear, like the picking was so aggressive, it's just like you could really hear every pick stroke, and it's just like
blazing fast too.
That's the kind of stuff that I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. So those are two of the big early influences, I'd say. That really got me kicking off.
He's got a great tone too, Gary Moore. He's just, his vibrato, his tone, his sustain is just sick. Sick, man.
So good.
Talk about you personally a little bit. Are you outgoing or shy by nature?
I mean, I guess I've been getting more outgoing since I got to the States the first time, because I felt like it's okay to do it here. And I guess I haven't really been shy, but still, like, as I told you, in Sweden, we're not supposed to say too much about ourselves. So in that way, maybe I've been shy like everyone else, but I've definitely been better at like promoting myself and introducing myself to people and just like be out there and do what has to be done with this networking game that we're all playing. But the first US trip 3 years ago was a big step forward in that, and I tried to keep that going when I went back home to Sweden. Like, I have to live in the US state of mind if I want to move there. I need to keep this stuff going on, be more like, introduce myself to people, offer my services. If I think I could offer people some services, and if they would appreciate that, I need to get in touch with them. I can't wait for people to reach out to me. Even if that happens as well, I usually have to make the first move, and then stuff happens after that. So,
absolutely.
But that's the thing, since I got to the States, I haven't had to make a lot of first moves because people kind of helped me out from the first spot, from the first day, which is crazy.
No, but you did make the first move when you went up to the stage. You introduced yourself to Guthrie. You introduced yourself to a couple of other guys. You introduced yourself to Jimmy Vaughn. You know, so
the first time I was here, I did a lot of those stuff. Yeah. But since I moved here, I haven't really had the time to be out and network and meeting new people because I've been fortunate enough to be so busy playing.
Yeah.
Of course, I met a lot of people when I've been playing, but I haven't been out in bars drinking, you know, trying to connect with people I don't know. So.
Yeah.
But I guess I did my fair share of that when I was here the first time.
Yeah, so. You know, it pays off. It's like it's just like any business, man. You just got to get enough velocity to get the momentum to get the plane off the ground, and then it gets a little easier. You know, it's smooth sailing a little bit. So
that's truly right.
This is probably a hard question to answer, but if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what do you think you'd be doing instead?
Well, since I've followed this dream so much, not only to go to the States, but to like play guitar for a living, I'm just like, I won't do anything else. Before I got this dream, my biggest dream was to become a police officer. A lot of people, maybe mostly guys, who get a toy gun when they're 6 years old and see their first, like, I don't know, James Bond movie or something, like, I want to be a police man. But I wanted to be that until I was like 14 or 15 years old. I was really serious about pursuing that. But then I got a guitar in my hands and just like, nope. Now I'm going to do this.
Weapons are legal there?
Not in the same way as here.
Oh, so
I mean, like a plastic toy gun that's just like.
Boom. Oh, but you can't have a gun there.
You have to have it's way harder to get a license for it. And it's just like. You either have to be a member of a like weapon or like shooting club or have a like hunting license or something.
Yeah, I was
like
gonna say, do they have hunting?
So it's much more restrictive compared to the States. Gotcha. It's like very, very big difference.
Gotcha. Hey, tell me something about yourself that people would either be surprised to hear or would find a little odd.
Ooh, this is hard.
When you said soccer before, did you say that for my benefit instead of calling it football? Because you probably call it football, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're so used to being with Americans and they say football, they're thinking NFL, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I never played that. I'm way too weak for that. But I played soccer for a minute. Okay, this might be... I never like to drink milk. But I played a Swedish sport, except for like soccer is not a Swedish sport, but it's a Swedish sport called floorball, which is a little bit like hockey, but there's no ice. You play with a stick, and instead of a puck, there's a ball, but the rest is a little bit similar at least. And I got like chosen to be training with a like state team or whatever of Stockholm when I was 15. And I told myself, like, well, I've heard that you'll get stronger bones in your body if you drink milk, and I should do that right now. So during those weeks, and I was training out with that, that's the only period in my life that I actually chose to drink milk regularly. So that's a weird thing maybe to say, but that's the only thing that came to my mind right now.
No, that would be cool. Man, I don't think I've had milk in like 40 years probably. I don't drink milk either, so...
Though I was very much into like milk based like yogurt and like sour milk and stuff, but I never enjoyed having a glass of milk. Mm-hmm. It's just like it never been my thing.
Yeah, I'm the same. I eat yogurt once or twice a day, but I will not drink a glass of milk.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing your dad taught you?
Ooh, this is tricky. It's so hard to nail it down to one thing. But I think he's always been like very encouraging and just like probably just like told me to go for what you want, maybe, and just like music is like there's something specific with you and music, so go for it. Probably just like been encouraging. He never had done when I was doing sports, he was very encouraging as well, but probably he could see that music was even more my thing. And I guess it's the same with my mom. They've been super supporting, both of them, but like also trying to steer me in the right direction. Maybe like when I had to choose between two different things, they've been trying to like, well, you have to go with your heart, but what we can see, this is maybe what you should do. It's up to you, but like, as well as we know you, probably this is where you're leaning against.
Let me ask you this. It seems like parents in Europe are far less controlling and involved in children's lives than they are here.
They've been very involved in my life, I would say, but never been controlling.
Right. Not okay. Well, let me clarify. Parents here, at least my generation.
Yeah.
And I'm not like this, but they are very like, I don't want to, not manipulative, but very preoccupied with making sure everything in the world goes right for the kid. Whereas it seems like over there, they are supportive, but they are, there's more of an awareness level that if you don't, you got to get coping skills. And if you like shelter children, they're never going to develop these coping skills.
No, that's true. I think like very early on when I was like 5 and 6 years old or something like that, my parents, because what I can remember, I didn't ask to like, okay, I want to, as you said in the intro, like I started playing violin when I was 6 years old. I can't play a note nowadays. I played it for like 2 years, but I can't remember telling them that I really want to play the violin. That's probably something that they asked me, would you like to try to play the violin? Or like, maybe we can set you up with lessons. And maybe I was just like, okay, I can do that. And they also set me up with like going to this like folk dance lessons or something like that when I was also probably 5 or 6 years old. I didn't end up doing that for very long either, but that's probably just like a way for them to put me in some kind of a direction when I was really young.
Sure.
But once I started playing guitar and like found the sports that I was into and stuff, they never tried to put me in a specific direction, really.
Do this. We feel it's better you do this or that. They seem like they just, it seems like overall there, people are let natural things happen as opposed
to. Yeah, and we've always been discussing a lot with me and my parents, and which I'm very thankful for. Usually, like, before I buy a guitar or like make any big purchase, especially like maybe not the last few years, but I always talk to them before. Do you like, not even to ask for permission or anything, but just like, so I'm planning to do this. This is quite a lot of money, but I feel like something I could really use right now. And they're like, well, maybe I would buy it, but it's not my life. So, and my dad shouldn't say that much. He has like 23 accordions, so
the dirt comes out in the wash.
Yeah, so he's a collector for sure, but a lot of them aren't that like they're valuable for him, but it's not worth that much money. But they all like they both see that I know what I want and I'm going in the right direction. I think they've seen that for a long time, and they also saw that I wasn't like trying to. Because I also studied to, as you said in the intro, I've been hired by like more than 10 different schools to teach. And that's because I've been going to different schools. So I know a lot of people, but also I've been studying to be an electric guitar teacher for 3 years. So I know how to teach. And actually my mom went to the same school in the 80s.
Wow, that's interesting.
But so they saw like, okay, he doesn't want to only become a rock star. It's not like kind of I wouldn't say it's a childish dream nowadays to like make it big, playing rock music all around the world, because people should still aim to do that if they want to. But they realize, okay, he really wants to play guitar, and if he has to do that by teaching, and he realized that's a part of this as well as playing live, that's great.
Yeah.
And since she had been to the same school, she like they were very supportive of that as well. But I think they realized that this is not just a dream of like being famous and making a lot of
getting like, girls or whatever. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Stuff like that. It's yeah. never it's never been about that yeah. for me. Actually, probably way less than most people about getting girls. It's like that's not what I saw growing up. I didn't see these music magazines with all the when they were posing with girls like Mötley Crüe or something like yeah. that. I saw these long-haired guys, and I got like. That's what I got excited about, electric yeah. guitars and long-haired guys.
I hear you.
I have a girlfriend, though, so I'm not into long-haired guys in that sense.
But. Disclaimer. Doesn't make you a bad person either way. We're easy yeah, going on this sure. show. So is your girlfriend here in the States or over in Sweden?
She's actually even further away. She's in Finland.
Holy smokes. I actually have a client in Finland. That's very funny.
You do?
Yeah, very yeah, cool. yeah. He's a real good guy.
I met her like 2 weeks after I got back home from my second trip to Nashville, which is like 2.5 years ago now, when my plan was to like, I really want to move over to Nashville. How should I get there? Maybe I should try to get married with some American girl. Maybe I could like do some online date with some girl. That was my plan. But then I met her and it was just like, I don't want to do some online dating now. The marriage thing is not the way I'm going to get into there because this is too good. But we also decided that there was no reason for her to move to Sweden if I would move to the States just yeah. a few months later or something like that.
Sure.
So we kept it a long distance thing. And we still do. She was here for a little bit more than 2 weeks in late September, early October.
Cool.
And I had the best times of my life to be able to like live my dream over here that I've fought for so long, and having her here, like the love of my life, seeing what I was fighting for so long, and she saw me play the Grand Ole Opry 3 days when she was here in like 14 days.
That's awesome, man.
So yeah, it was really cool.
That's great.
And she's coming back here for almost 2 months between late December and late February. That's, so that's going to be nice.
That's great, man. I'm happy for you. You'll have a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
What's your non-musical superpower?
I guess something people would remember, and that also something that I know myself I'm quite good at, is like I good memory, especially for numbers. And the fun thing is I was always interested in like sports statistics, and I can remember like results from soccer games or like Olympic results from 96 or whatever, when it was like the Olympic Games in Atlanta. I can remember who won the 100 meter running and what his time was. It was like Donovan Bailey running in 9:84, and it was the world record, you know, stuff like that.
That's pretty cool, man.
No, I just said one thing, but you know, that kind of stuff. And the fun thing is that my girlfriend works as a statistician. So,
oh, so you guys got home and talked numbers.
She's a numbers pro. Well, I was just like very interested in it.
That's very yeah. cool, man. Do you have any hobbies or interests outside of music?
Nope.
What's the favorite place you've traveled?
Short answer.
Yeah, man, that's good. You know.
No, of course I have other interests, but it's all there to support the music, more or less, to eat food, to hang out with friends, to watch a movie, to drink beer, you know, but like nothing of it would matter if it wouldn't be
to support your music.
Support music in a way. Yeah.
What do you like the best about the US? Like, what's your favorite place you've traveled?
Well, I played in 18 states so far, but I haven't seen 18 states.
Sure.
I can see that. I've seen like many venues and many highways and many hotel rooms. But I can only say that Nashville is my favorite city, and Tennessee is my – I haven't seen that much of the rest of Tennessee either. So that's the only stuff I can tell you really, I haven't seen enough of. When I was in the States the first time during this road trip, I was spent like, I think I spent 10 days total in Texas, like 7 days in Austin, 3 days in Dallas. And I really like that as well.
Austin's cool.
I would say that's a part I like as well. But, you know, that was 3 years ago and only 10 days. So it's nothing to compare to. I can't compare it really to Nashville.
How about worldwide? Like, any particular places you've been around? Finland's supposed to be gorgeous, actually. My wife was just telling me her friend went there and she loved it.
Finland is nice. I haven't seen that many parts of Finland either. But overall, like, Sweden is a really nice country. When you go out on the countryside, it's very beautiful. I haven't been in that many Norwegian cities, but I've been traveling from and to gigs. And like driving in the mountains of Norway, that's
pretty
beautiful. Yeah,
you'll like it if you go out west, like Seattle, the Pacific Northwest. If you haven't been there, absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah,
just driving on the highways, it's
I
found it beautiful, man. It was just gorgeous.
Other than that, I've been in the Czech Republic in Prague like 7 times. I have to say that would be my. With Nashville and Stockholm, maybe my favorite cities in the world.
Prague
is like anyone who loves beer, go there because it's really good beer and it's really cheap and it's a really beautiful city as well with a lot of history.
I've heard the architecture.
I'm not really a lot into that, but if you go there, you will find a lot of stuff that's breathtaking.
I've heard that several times from several people, man. Two more questions, man. What's the toughest decision you ever had to make or the hardest thing you ever had to do?
Ooh. I've been so fortunate to be like, it's not like I'm choosing between different moments because I can't really think of anything that's been that tough. I mean, in a way, every time saying goodbye to my girlfriend, but I also know I will see her soon again. But like, of course, leaving Sweden, it was not an easy thing to do. It was like I didn't really leave Sweden, I would say. I didn't leave it because I didn't like it or because I hated my life there.
Sure.
I went somewhere else to pursue a dream. I didn't leave Sweden for the leaving part. I went here to pursue something. But like,
it was an experiment. It was almost like an experiment.
Yeah. But like going here while leaving my parents, my brother, all my best friends back home, and my girlfriend, of course, that's not an easy thing to do. But they were all supporting this and they all knew since such a long time ago that this is truly what he wants. So there was no like bad vibes or anything like that. They were all like, we'll see you over there or we'll see you when you get back home. Like there's always Skype, there's always Facebook, we will keep in touch, and I'm in touch with most of my close friends very often back home, so I mean, I could be in just another Swedish city, more or less. Of course, the time difference makes it harder maybe to keep in touch sometimes, but...
It's 6 hours, 6 or 7 hours ahead?
It's 7 hours between Nashville and Sweden, and 8 hours to Finland.
Yeah, that is a little bit awkward. Last question, man. Who's had the biggest influence on you? And why?
This was also tricky, but one guy that I mentioned earlier, this crazy Romanian guitar teacher that I had from when I was 14 to 18, he both showed me how to play electric guitar. I had one electric guitar teacher before, but that wasn't not really playing. We played on an electric, but we didn't play electric guitar. This guy showed me what a bend was. He showed me what distortion was. He showed me what vibrato or like tapping and sweeping was. Like he taught me everything of that. And he also was the guy who told me like, David, you got to play with your cock. And he said that when I was 14 years old. Like, it's like Romanian accent in Swedish. And that kind of told me something about like it's not about being perfect. It's about showing people that you really mean it. And you do that by playing with attitude. And like, as he said, you play with your cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he showed me, like, and he got me into playing electric guitar. And when I was 18 and I was really, I've been studying music for 3 years in high school. And I was like, man, I really want to play guitar. And I'm thinking about applying for this other school, but I'm so tired of studying, and I'm thinking about doing something else for a year or two. And he was like, but do you think it would feel like studying when you're only playing music? You will not have any other subjects. It won't be like math or history, or you won't have to care about anything else than music back here. Do you think it will be feeling like studies?
That's a good point.
And I was like, well, maybe not. And he said, like, apply then, go for it. And I applied the next day, which was the last day for applications to be sent in. And I got into the school. I met some of my best friends there. I met the drummer that I made my first US road trip with. And since that day, I never looked back. I never made money or like focused on anything else than music. So he put me in the right direction.
Yeah, he was. Once. I could see why he was that influential. Yeah.
And I mean, when I was like 16 years old, I was, or 15 maybe, whatever, I was trying to find his old albums online on these, like, I don't know what you used over in the set, but we had something called the DC++, where you can, like, people put out their libraries from their computers and, like, you can download movies or CDs or whatever that they uploaded. And I found his old albums from the 80s, like, super, super bad quality, but I was working out his solos from recordings from 1984.
Very, you know, cool, man.
That's how big impression he made on me back then. And we're still in touch to this day, which means a lot to me.
What's his name, man? Think, do you want to give him a shout out? What's
his name? His name is John.
Shout out.
Spelled I-O-N in a Romanian way. I-O-N.
John. I-O-N?
Yeah. I-O-N.
Shout out to Jan.
For sure. He's put me... he's led me in the right direction several times, and I can't be more thankful. Of course, there's other people who's meant a lot, like personally and along the way. But like music-wise, I wouldn't be here at all if it wouldn't be for him, because that was such an important thing to meet him the first time in those years that I had him as a teacher.
Awesome. Very cool, man.
I don't think I learned one country lick during those years, so that didn't lead me in the direction of going to Nashville, really. But it certainly,
yeah. But he opened the door. It sounds like he opened a couple of doors for you, and you walked through and made your own path. But had he not been there, those doors may never have opened for you.
No, exactly. That's the way.
That's great, man. Well, listen, man, I can't thank you enough. You're awesome. I'm really happy for you. You got a great success story. I'd love to have you back on the show in a couple of years to see, like, you know, what chapter 2 and 3 is going to look like.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure.
Anything you want to promote or where people could find you online? Or I know you're on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube.
And let me spell your name too, because no one's going to know how to spell your name. It's David Henriksen, but it's not Hendrickson. It's Henriksen. H-E-N-R-I-K. S-S-O-N. I'll say it again. Henriksen. H-E-N-R-I-K-S-S-O-N. David Henriksen.
Exactly. So there's no D and no C, but a double S instead.
I love those double S's. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a very common thing in Sweden. But if you go to youtube.com/David Henriksen Music, but since I spelled it Henriksen with K, I spell the music with K as well, as in Sweden. And by the time this will be published, I will also be on Facebook with an artist page with the same David Henriksen Music. And if you go to Instagram, you can find me there under a different name, which is Dave Cave 1.
Dave Cave with a C or K?
With a C in that case.
It's actually too confusing. Now you're getting like American English. It's a C, if then, before I...
Yeah,
Music Cave, C-A-V-E, the number one?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so it's on Instagram, it's Music Cave, M-U-S-I-C, Cave, C-A-V-E, number one. And it'll be
not Music Cave, Dave Cave 1.
Oh, Dave Cave 1, sorry.
And that's because it has to be the American way of rhyming, Dave and Cave, you know.
Dave Cave, okay, so Dave Cave 1. And Facebook.com, it'll be David Henriksen Music with a K. H-E-N-R-I-K-S-S-O-N, Music, M-U-S-I-C. K.
Exactly.
Man, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to see the, what this unfolds, man. Hear the rest of the story.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? Thank you for your time. Thanks for being here. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Again, thanks a lot to David Henriksen for spending his time with us. I really appreciate it. Go to everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get notified about future episodes, along with some cool stuff for guitar players. And be nice. Go play a guitar and have some fun. Till next time, peace and love, and I am out. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.